beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. 4 days from now, hundreds of white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and members of the Ku Klux Klan are expected to hold a rally at Lafayette Park in the shadow of the White House. The Unite the Right rally will be held exactly 1 year after the violent and deadly white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. What does this mean? Is D.C. ready for this? Are you ready for this? Well, joining me to talk about this are Eugene Puryear, community activist and field operations director with Justice First. Also, Justin Duckham, political analyst. Lines are open. Want to hear from you tonight. What do you think? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Eugene, Justin, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so why is this happening? Let's talk about the legal issues here of free speech. You first, Eugene.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think certainly they have the right to come, and I think that it's a slippery slope when we start talking about who the government is going to start banning and the way political winds can shift. People we hate, it's always good. People you like, sometimes it seems like, oh, they'd never be banned, but you never know 5 years in the future, which is why I think it's so critically important, and I think I'm not alone in this, of people who want to have large mobilizations against these sorts of people. They have the right to free speech. So do we. They want to use Lafayette Park and be downtown. We also have the same right. And I think that that's one of the things that sometimes people get lost in the shuffle, that saying they have the right to be there is also not saying that it is morally right for them to be there, or that they, you know, you have the right to free speech, but not to free speech without opposition. And I think that that's important for us to recognize, which is why I'm going to be there 1 p.m. In Lafayette Park. We got a permitted space on the north side of the park to say, let's show that there are, you know, millions of people in this area that are opposed to this message, and show them for, you know, who they really are, and also to show them that they're not going to be able to go and spew this kind of hate without an answer.
But Justin, we have free speech and then we have hate speech. Where should the line be drawn, particularly in light of what we saw a year ago with the murder of Heather Heyer?
And that's why they're having it in D.C. and not Charlottesville, like they initially wanted to do. Charlottesville objected to it based on public safety standards, pointing to what happened last year. And instead, they're holding it here because of the free speech protections from the National Park Service. Again, that's their legal right, but this is certainly causing a lot of disruption in D.C. We are going to be seeing massive street closures, not to mention with an influx of counter-protesters who are going to be coming in and basically bringing the city to an absolute standstill for this rally, which ultimately probably won't bring more than, you know, 200 or 300 people here.
Yeah, but just today, with the city manager and the police chief in Charlottesville, even though they did not permit Unite the Right to protest, they are still expecting protests there along these same lines. So what are we missing here?
I mean, I think it's tough to say. I don't know exactly what Charlottesville is planning in terms of trying to crack down on things. I think that people are determined, I think, on the one hand, to commemorate in a positive way the fact that there are many people who were there to stand up against what many people will call these fascist protesters. I've seen several things. Charlottesville's my hometown. I know there's some people who want to come out. And I think, you know, there's also going to be the ne'er-do-wells coming as well, who want to make a point. Even without a permit, I think a lot of these people, they're not afraid to get arrested. They're not afraid to be confrontational, because I think from their perspective, that is the thing that makes them attractive to other people. I think they're preying on people who are hopeless, people who have anger, and I think sometimes those sort of violent outbursts or getting arrested or creating this situation to where they can say we're being persecuted unfairly for our beliefs is the type of thing they think at least helps them recruit. And I think that's why we might still see these type of actions, even though they're trying to sort of prevent them from the point of view of the city taking sort of legal measures to prevent a repeat of the Lee Park events last year.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the Unite the Right rally scheduled for 5:30 at Lafayette Park on Sunday in the shadow of the White House. Neo-Nazis, white supremacists, white nationalists all expected there, as well as counter-protesters. Are you ready? Is D.C. ready? What do you think? Let's go to the phone lines. Crystal calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Crystal. What's on your mind?
Okay, so the frustration I'm having is I'm just hearing about this for the first time, like, this week. So how long has this been in existence? Why more people aren't talking about it, like WHUR?
We've been talking. This has been in the plans at least for a month.
Right, but I'm saying the community hasn't been made aware.
I completely disagree with you, Crystal.
Oh, really? Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. It's been in the Washington Post. It's been part of our newscast. It's been on every single TV station in this area. It's been on alternative websites. A lot of folks have been talking about it.
Okay. Well, let me ask this. This is a question I have.
Go ahead.
Why is it or is it not true that Sessions put Black Lives Matter on a terrorist list, but yet these groups are allowed to come out and parade their racist views and for decades, and it's okay for them to parade hate and draw the violence or just draw just all the negativity that it does, but yet Black Lives Matter, that's for good, was allegedly put on a terrorist list.
Well, let me see if we can have Justin Hansford, the executive director of the Thurgood Marshall Center for Civil Rights here at Howard University, address that question. Justin, your thoughts about what she's saying?
Sure. Well, first of all, I would like to thank you for raising that issue, because it is true that there was a Black Identity Extremist report which came out earlier in 2017, which described how the FBI had indeed identified members of groups such as Black Lives Matter as possible, quote unquote, terrorists, in the sense that they saw them as a threat. And there is no similar widely known report that targets white supremacist groups. And so this is the ongoing problem we have seen. Unfortunately, it's not simply a Jeff Sessions problem or a Donald Trump problem. This particular Black Identity Extremist report goes back to an investigation that included Ferguson protests back in 2014 and 2015 under then FBI Director James Comey. So this is not simply something that we can pin on individuals. This is a structural problem where law enforcement has, over the course of years and really decades, you can go back to the 1960s when we had civil rights activists protesting, being surveilled. We know about COINTELPRO. At the same time, we also had the KKK involved in quote-unquote protests or assemblies back in the 1960s and Skokie in 1970s. They didn't face the same type of scrutiny. So this is not a new problem. It's an ongoing problem. The struggle is that we have to become aware of it and find a way to respond.
And to that point, what impact might that listing, that identifying of Black Lives Matter by the federal government have an impact on what we see on Sunday, if any?
Right. So what we do know is that when you have this targeting, this type of reporting, police departments around the country are trained by the FBI in how to engage in surveillance. So we have cases that prove that law enforcement has created fake Facebook profiles, for example, and they've added activists onto those profiles so that they can surveil their activities. Members of the Black Lives Matter movement have been surveilled and followed. Their phones have been tapped. We don't know of the same things happening in the context of the Unite the Right protests now. So there's a lot of concern. We saw that last year in Charlottesville. Police were standing by watching what was happening. There's a great deal of violence. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that that doesn't happen when the D.C. police are faced with the inevitably unruly protesters here in the Unite the Right protest on Sunday.
Crystal, thank you so much. And just keep listening and keep watching. Like I said, there's been a lot of discussion about this. This has led newscasts. It's all over the place. So keep your ear to the ground, and I'm sure there will be more information. And, of course, we will be covering this Unite the Right rally and the counter protests on Sunday. So you definitely want to be paying attention to WHUR on Sunday. But again, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to Livette. Livette calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I've been watching all the news and I've seen everything as it's been going on. And I was kind of prepared for last year because I'm from Virginia. My brother had gone to UVA. So I'm kind of interested this year to see how well D.C. handles it. You know, we are, we're no longer a chocolate city, but we're still one of the most diverse areas in the world. And I'm hoping that we will do better at handling things than Charlottesville did, and that we will be a better people, and not riotous or problem solving. I'm hoping that we'll be a part of the solution rather than part of the problem, because the Unite to Right movement would like nothing better than to see a city where brown people are the majority acting a total fool.
Thank you so much, Livette. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Justin, talk to me about the political ramifications of Sunday and what may be, part of the broader discussion about what's happening not only in this region, but in America.
Well, you know, the big question is whether or not there is going to be violence. And, you know, I myself am a little bit wary about predicting that. There's a lot of speculation that there would be massive violence around the Republican National Convention in 2016. There were similar concerns that there would be massive widespread violence around Trump's inauguration. Neither of those really materialized like a lot of people expected. But going back to what your caller mentioned, this has been in the mindset for quite some time now. It has given people who could be potential bad actors time to simmer, time to, I guess, mobilize if that's a concern. But it's sort of a mixed bag in the sense that we have also learned, hopefully, the lessons from Charlottesville when it comes to a law enforcement perspective, when it comes to a counter-protesting perspective. But overall, this comes with a lot of peril.
Let me go back to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. C, calling from Maryland. What's on your mind? C, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm really appalled at this. I'm surprised that we're even asking this question. You know, I heard that the gentleman mentioned violence and everything, and I think that there's something, I mean, there's nothing good that can possibly come out of this situation. And I'm really disgusted because we have, like, the March for Our Lives and just things like that, and it seems like while we're trying to go forward, we take, like, four steps back. I don't get why there would be any type of event, a white supremacy event gathering. Obviously, there are going to be people on the opposite side who oppose. I just don't see any good out of this. So,
well, obviously, you are not a white supremacist. And so I would imagine that it would be extremely difficult for you to see why this is happening. But to your point, Eugene, last year, Charlottesville started as white supremacist, white nationalist protesting Civil War memorials. But that thing grew, or dare I say, exploded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it metastasized into something. I think the reality is what was set off by Corey Stewart, who is then running for governor, rallying around these Confederate flag issues or Confederate statue issues, and I'm from Charlottesville originally, trust me, this is the biggest Lee Park has ever been, was every single person who wanted to stoke and fire the flames of racism said, oh, this is great. We have a symbol. We have something that people who maybe are not in our core base feel strongly about, so we can mobilize outside of it. And I think in the wake of the Trump presidency, many of these people were feeling like, hey, this might be our chance to try to platform ourselves, mainstream ourselves in a major way. But I would say to the caller, I think one good thing can come out of this. I mean, let's remember that Richard Spencer, who is one of these people, he was there at the Unite the Right, he no longer does college tours because so many people protested so many of his events. He said, I can't get anything out of it. You see that groups like the Traditionalist Workers Party that played a huge role in Charlottesville, they were countered in a couple places in Tennessee shortly after the Unite the Right. They've now, for a variety of reasons, completely and totally imploded. I think we saw in Boston the tens of thousands of people who came out. So I still think the positive thing that can really come out of this is that we can bring forward huge manifestations that outnumber these people to such a degree and that perhaps even disrupt their ability in a, you know, I think very appropriate way, not a violent way, but in terms of just the masses of people preventing them from holding the space they want to hold. We can make a strong statement about what our values are, what they should be, how marginalized these views should be, and let them know no matter where you go and no matter where you come, you're going to be met with a huge number of people who oppose you, and your message won't be able to just go out there and spread as if it's in some way legitimate.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Unite the Right rally scheduled for Sunday in the shadow of the White House at Lafayette Park. White supremacists, neo-Nazi, the KKK, all expected to show up, as well as many counter protesters. We're taking all calls tonight, of course, as always, even after 7:30 on Sirius XM channel 141. Let me grab a quick phone call. We may have to do the answer after the break. Lisa, quickly, what's on your mind?
Hi. This is Lisa from Gablesburg.
Go right ahead, Lisa. You got 30 seconds.
My question for the guest is, what can we do constructively in our community outside of showing up downtown to protest and throw bottles at them because they throw bottles at us? What can we do that's a long-term, ongoing effort, something constructive like we did during the Civil Rights Movement?
Hold that point, Lisa. Stay on the line so that you can get an answer to your question. We're going to take a break. Also, Michael from Rockville, we're going to talk to you. Torlanda, calling from D.C., we are also going to talk to you. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take as many phone calls as we can. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. But this conversation will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the Unite the Right rally scheduled on Sunday, just feet from the White House at Lafayette Park. Tonight, my guests are Justin Hansford, Executive Director of the Thurgood Marshall Center for Civil Rights at Howard University, Eugene Puryear, Community Activist and Field Operations Director with Justice First, and Justin Duckham, Political Analyst. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa's asking, what can we do in our community to address this issue? I would venture to say that these white supremacists are not in our community, unless, of course, you live in an extremely diverse community, or that you are perhaps a minority in a predominantly white community. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there are white supremacists there.
Well, I do think that, unfortunately, we're seeing a rise in hate crime all across the country since the initial campaign and since Donald Trump's election. And so although we don't want to believe that there are white supremacists in our community, in reality, the odds are there probably are people who have at least visited the alt-right's websites, people who log on to Breitbart News every once in a while. So I do think that it's important for us to be cognizant of the fact that there is a surge in this type of thinking. It's become more normalized under the Trump presidency. And we do have the onus upon ourselves, I believe, to respond, to ensure that we reinforce to our children, reinforce to our neighbors, that we believe in principles like equality and justice and human rights, because one of the biggest misconceptions is that this is a problem that will just go away if we ignore it. Many people think that, well, you know, there's nothing that we can do to really solve this. The more attention we pay to it, the worse it gets. So let's just act like it doesn't exist, or let's avoid the problem because we don't know how to address it. unfortunately, ignoring the problem is not helping. What we need to do is be able to make sure that we make it known that we are not going to stand for this type of attitude in our communities. And where we have power, everyday citizens have power in their schools, on the school boards, with their families, where people have the power to speak out. They have to take advantage of that power and speak out for justice.
Justin.
And vigilance is absolutely important, because these white nationalists and other hate groups are going through great efforts to pretty much obscure what they're trying to do, to obscure their ideology. A lot of them may not have the white robes anymore or be using the Nazi wristbands, but they have adopted other means. They have started using more innocent-sounding names, like the National Policy Institute, which is the think tank headed by Richard Spencer, who's a white nationalist and, you know,
the preppy children. Racist.
Exactly. Racist is the perfect way to describe it. And that's really where this gets dangerous. The fact that they claimed the Charlottesville rally was about statues, that pretty much now we can say is not really fooling anybody except maybe the president, if you want to give him the benefit of a doubt. This time they're saying it's about civil rights, using a lot of the same language that those on the mainstream right are using, saying that, you know, look, whites are dealing with opioid addiction right now. They're dealing with illegal immigration, and really making a more mainstream argument, even though at the heart of it, it's still a hate group.
202, Lisa, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Torlanda, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, yes. There's a lot on my mind about this situation.
We'll try to keep it brief. We've got a lot of folks trying to get in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been smoldering for a long time. But brought back to the surface because of this new, because of the new administration, I believe. And so this country is built on and on God we trust. Is that not true? Is that Constitution still in place?
Your thoughts, Scott?
Well, I think that certainly that is a big piece of what we say and many different things in terms of how the country is founded. And I think certainly the founders themselves were certainly speaking to that issue. I mean, I think just to take a step back, too, I wanted to say something in response to the previous caller, which I think is a great point, which is I think we have to build a political movement that starts to directly address a lot of these things that are being exploited. I mean, why are you blaming the immigrant for taking your job as opposed to the person who brought him here to exploit him for his low labor? Why are we blaming, whoever, the refugee who shows up, and not the drone strike policy and the invasions and the wars that are being waged by our own government that are causing people to move here in the first place? I mean, obviously, you're not going to get everyone, but a lot of so many of these, you know, Unite the Right, alt-right type groups are preying on many of the things that Justin just mentioned, whether it be the opioid crisis or lack of resources, jobs, unemployment, different things, the collapse of the Rust Belt, the collapse of the factory economy and the Rust Belt challenges and all the things that are going on there, that there are real political solutions for, but none of those things are actually being proposed by these alt-right, far-right, neo-Nazi type individuals. And we have to be willing to go to the Frederick, Marylands, to the Eastern Shores, to the Southern Virginias in Mecklenburg County and Pennsylvania County, all these different places, and say to people, the West Virginias of the world, hey, look, these people are selling you a bill of goods. What they're saying is not true. This is what will actually solve your problem, and we can unite a lot of people behind this kind of program.
But it seems to me that, and I agree with you, that they aren't offering solutions. All they're offering is, we hate black and brown people. We hate anyone of
it's
color.
Evil.
Yeah, we hate immigrants. We hate the members of the LGBTQ community. We just don't like, but there are no cogent kinds of arguments to support.
Right. Well, in a sense, hate is the solution in their ideology, because what they're saying is that we will scapegoat these communities. The reason you don't have a job is because of the immigrant communities taking your job. The reason that you are facing these problems with opioid addiction and other reasons is that these factors are somehow controlled by the Obama administration or other secret conspiracy theorist ideas that make them demonize anyone who is not the same as them. So I think that we've seen throughout American history, we've seen this cycle where we have these pushes forward that are then responded to by the project of demonizing people of color, demonizing black people in particular. After we won the Civil War and had our freedom, we had a huge movement forward with Reconstruction, and then we had Jim Crow push us back because they demonized black people and they said that black people are the problem and you have to segregate them and make sure that they don't take your jobs. We found that again after the Civil Rights Movement. You had mass incarceration and the War on Drugs. Again, it was black people who were the criminals, and by demonizing them, the ruling class was able to ensure that they didn't have to solve the problems of white working class people. They just had to demonize and blame the other people for the problems, and then they would be able to avoid providing some sort of livable wage or providing some sort of real solution. So we're seeing this again and again. We're seeing this cycle where after we have the first black president, we have an anti-black president, and we have this again move to demonize, not just a move to hate, but a move to blame certain communities for all your problems. And it's an easy way out for communities that don't have another answer for how they can get out of their own particular obstacles.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Michael, calling from Rockville. Thanks for calling, Michael. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I just wanted to touch on the civil rights era and specifically how many of the alt-right and kind of the Unite the Right people are using some of those tactics that, you know, Dr. King and Bayard Rustin used in their attempts to provide a semblance of civil rights to the people of color, and how the Unite the Right people are using some of those same things. He talked about it very briefly, and how they go to the Midwest and the Bible Belt and kind of these places where there's a lot of white people who are unemployed. And you think about the fact that they're having a Unite the Right rally in August in D.C. Well, you know, 1963, you know, we had the March on Washington for Jobs, and they're using a lot of the same ploys. I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Justin, you were kind of nodding your head. Go ahead.
I mean, Jason Kessler, who is the organizer for Unite the Right, is using that language very specifically and very consciously. In one of his videos that he released in the lead up to this, he specifically invoked Martin Luther King, albeit in the same breath where he said, of course, we don't agree with his politics, which is a little interesting on its own. But I think there's certainly an effort to try to make that argument, to certainly try to get it across. And I think that's part of their ploy. And I think, again, that ties into the fact that they are trying to put forward a different vision. It's sort of a rebrand that goes on with a lot of these hate groups every decade or so, where they change their colors, but, you know, basically keep on reverting back to the same ideology that has been with them for decades and decades.
And to the point that Michael was saying, if we go back, if you are a fan of documentaries, there is the iconic video that we saw in the 1920s of tens of thousands of white robed Klansmen marching down Pennsylvania Avenue. And as frightening as that is, and just like Justin was saying, you talk about the rebranding, we may not see white robes as we didn't so much in Charlottesville. You may not see that on Sunday. But also, this isn't the 1920s. This may no longer be the Chocolate City, but it's not quite Cafe Olé. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you will have, I would think that you will have some very, very woke protesters, and not just those who are just hearing about this today. Mm-hmm. I would imagine we will have some counter protesters that have been gearing up for this for as long as the white nationalists have been gearing up.
Oh, I think that's 100% true. And you know, part of the challenge was that Kessler and his forces were trying to confuse people by saying, well, we're going to Charlottesville, maybe we're going to D.C., maybe we're going to do both, we're doing whatever, to try to make it as difficult as possible to organize things. But yeah, here in D.C., I think people have been preparing at least for the last month. I know that the rally that we're preparing starts at 1 p.m. Lafayette Park. We have a permit for the whole north side of the park, so you can certainly come there legally. You know, we've been talking to people from West Virginia, New York, Pennsylvania, New Haven, Boston, of course, every part of the D.C. metro area. And a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, we knew about this, and we were just waiting to hear, you know, where the counter protest was going to be. We're ready to come. We're bringing our friends. We're filling up cars. And I think a lot of people feel that because because of what took place last year in Charlottesville, that this is maybe more important to make sure that there is not a weak showing of opposition, as if somehow these forces are growing and the people opposed to them are falling back. But yeah, I think people are ready and they're prepared. I'll speak to another earlier caller. We have no plans to throw any bottles. I will say that. But be that as it may, you know, we are going to be well organized. I don't think people have to feel afraid to come out there. We're not going to be, you know, in a pacifist posture just doing nothing. We're going to be organized. We're going to have a strong presence there of people who know how to deal with situations. But I expect it's going to be a large number of people. And I think a lot of people who have really educated themselves on this issue, many people for a long time. But I think since the Trump presidency, there's a lot of new interest in, well, who are these people? Who are these groups? What is the alt-right? What are their connections? And I've seen a lot of heartening sense, quite frankly, of people who want to know what's going on and want to stand up to it, but do it in an intelligent way.
But I'm not so worried about the Eugene Puryears in the community who have a permit to be there. The thing that concerns me are the ticked off people who do not try to intellectualize the issues. Mm-hmm. All they know is that we have the Klan and neo-Nazis and white supremacists who don't like people like me coming to my town, and permit or not, I'm going to show up. Should we be concerned about those folks?
I don't think we should be concerned, because I'm not that concerned about Jason Kessler. I mean, I think that people who are, and I think what we've seen over the past few years, people who are desirous of a more kinetic response, I think are oftentimes pretty have become. I think are usually like
you went to Howard, didn't you?
I sure
yes,
did.
You did.
I think people there's a lot of consciousness about the fact that hey, if we're going to do this, we're like not going to go to Lafayette Park and do it. We're not going to get people caught up who maybe didn't come for that, but we're going to do what we feel we need to do. I mean, I would say here, right here in D.C. in 1982, in Detroit in 1984, actually in New York, I think it was 2002. A lot of times these people just get run out on a rail. And it's hard for me to really shed any tears for them. So I think that the people who really should maybe be concerned should be Jason Kessler and his friends about why there are so many people who might want to come out and confront them because of what they're doing and saying.
Right. And I wanted to say, I also expect the overwhelming majority of people who come out to counter demonstrate this weekend will be peaceful. And we want to make sure that is the assumption that the authorities take, including the police. I think that their responsibility is to allow people to express their First Amendment rights and balance that with concern for public safety. And they're supposed to do their jobs in a way that effectively allows for people to express their freedom of speech, to express their particular derision of this type of hateful speech. As we know, I don't know if we've gotten into this yet, but as we know, there was an effort at one point to create a special metro car to allow some of these protesters to get downtown.
Right,
we know that their permits. That's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
But we know there's been a lot of historically, there's been efforts on behalf of the authorities to do everything we can to be solicitous of the rights of people engaged in this sort of white supremacist speech. At the same time, we need to have the same effort to be solicitous of the speech of those who want to counter demonstrate and make sure that it's known that they will not be laying down and accepting this type of behavior in their community. So I think it's, although there is always the possibility that some people, just like in any public gathering, there's always the possibility that some people will, act a fool. It's the law enforcement's responsibility is to allow people to assemble peacefully, and as long as they remain peaceful, to assume that they are going to be peaceful. What we've seen in other places, from Portland recently, all these different places around the country, is that assumption hasn't been there on behalf of the law enforcement community, and they've been quick to try to shut down counter protests on this idea that these are the people that are going to be initiating the violence, and we should be solicitous of the white supremacist protests.
But to the point that you just made today during the press conference in Charlottesville, the new police chief, Rashaal Brackney, a black woman, mm-hmm. And the first black woman ever to be chief of police in Charlottesville, commented on what their department specifically has been doing to make sure that Charlottesville is safe. And she mentioned Portland, going there to see how they've handled this. And one of the things that was also mentioned today as one of the tactics is that at the time that the rally is expected to begin that vehicles and people will be kept separate? Because as we know, Heather Heyer was killed by a man driving a vehicle. And so, once, whether you're there as a counter protester or what have you, once you leave your car, your van, your what have you, you will not be able to get back to it. One of the other things that I also found very fascinating, and this came up, and Eugene, you were there last year in Charlottesville. Reverend Jesse Jackson and other civil rights activists were complaining about black communities being boxed in churches and other communities by these white nationalists, and the police chief said that they are going to pay particular attention now to make sure that these communities are safe.
Well, I mean, I hope they do. I mean, I have to say, in Charlottesville last year, the issue at the church there where Richard Spencer and the torch lit rally, that could have been way worse. But I think the reality is, as much as Antifa is derided in many places, they were there and they were armed, and that made other people, Spencer and his friends, redirect their move in towards going towards that church. And I think that could have been very dangerous. And I'm thankful there were people who were there who wanted to protect that church and protect those people who were clergy gathered in a very peaceful manner. And I think we've consistently actually sort of seen that. And I think, Justin, you made this point very well, where it seems like the police to some degree are actually not that concerned about the violence coming from any of these right-wing forces and seem to be almost outward facing. And I think in Charlottesville, that was a lot of what took place, is that, like, who was demonized. I think you look at a city like Portland, I can say this. The police in Portland and protesters have a long history and a lot of beef. A few bottles were thrown at the police, and they used that as a pretext to charge a protest that, even though there have been widespread rumors that this was going to be an all-out brawl, it was nothing like that until, you know, someone, whoever they were, decided to throw some full water bottles at police officers, and I think they heavily overreacted. And I think that we have to really ask the question here as to, you know, sort of the who do you serve and who do you protect, which is usually a chant at many of these demonstrations, in terms of the mentality of a lot of these police departments, where I don't think it's about we love the Unite the Right and we hate these protesters, but there's also a feeling like, well, who are these protesters? Aren't these the same people who are with Black Lives Matter? Aren't these the same people who hate police? Aren't these the people who demonize us on a regular basis? And I don't know if they have the same level of respect, caring, and understanding, as many would say that they should, because of some of those other feelings and other political realities. And I think that plays in to how a lot of these events are policed and protest. So I hope in Charlottesville that they are taking those precautions. I will say this, though, that a lot of the Black community in Charlottesville was defending themselves. And there's some great videos you can see of some of these alt-right types who sort of veered into Friendship Square and areas like that. And the community was like, you know what, you might want to move. And they're big tough guys, you know, when they were over there in Lee Park, and then you see them sort of scampering and running away. So I do think the community, to some degree, they're savvy and understands what needs to be done and what's at stake to defend themselves.
Let me go back to the phone lines. And Michael, thank you so much for your phone call. Curtis calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Curtis. What's on your mind?
Just passing on. I just talked to the lady before I came on. Just let people know they need to be aware of the surroundings. Stay focused, because what they want to do is draw you into the confrontation. Once they get you into a confrontation, next thing they do, you call the police on them, they'll have the police say you were the one who caused the problem. So have everyone to be aware of the surroundings. Stay focused. Don't be drawn into a confrontation. I've been dealing with them here in Southern Virginia a number of years, just recently, driving into my driveway. Once you call the police on them that they're trespassing, they call the police saying, oh, he's a threat to me, or I felt threatened. So you have to be aware. And some members of law enforcement are also covering up for some of these people, too. And I've had them here, too. And the next thing you need to do is documentation. List what's going on. Keep track of everything. Pass it on to as many people as possible. And stay aware of what your surroundings are. Don't be walking around with those earplugs in your ear, listen to all your tapes and everything. Mm-hmm. You have to stay focused, because these people don't care about you.
Okay. Curtis, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Justin, is this a coincidence that this is happening less than 100 days before the midterm election? What am I missing here?
I'm not really sure if it ties that much into the midterm elections, basically because DC has a pretty long history of hate groups coming here and carrying out actions like these. You know, we as you mentioned earlier, saw in 1925, there were about 3,500 or 1,000 rather Klan members who came here. 82, there was a KKK rally that ended up lasting only about 15 minutes due to massive counter protests. There was the American Renaissance Conference here, which had a bit of a confrontation. So I don't want to draw too many political parallels. I think that this is just basically how they operate and is frankly sort of an irresistible stage for a lot of these groups to come to the nation's capital and make their stands here.
But I would think that if these Unite the Right, alt-right groups want to find success in the midterm elections, I would imagine it would be smarter not to stir the pot before the election.
I think it depends on the candidate. I think if you're Corey Stewart and you're running for Senate in Virginia, and I think, you know, he already previewed this in his campaign for governor, you need those people to turn out as much as possible. And I think that the feeling that your side, and I think you can tie this into the Alex Jones thing and different things, the more people like Corey Stewart can create the perception that our people are being falsely suppressed by them, and that the only way for us to fight back is to put our people, not these Republican in name only people in office, is to come in and to vote in people like me to try to juice the turnout. And I think that's why you saw him be so deeply wrapped up in the issue of the statues, because it's all about trying to use this grievance style politics to get people to show up to the polls in a lot of these areas. So I think there are some places where it hurts them. I think there are some candidates who it hurts. I think there are some candidates who it might not help them win, but it might be their only chance to get enough people to the polls to win if there's complacency on the other side.
And for those who are not familiar with Alex Jones, he's the host of InfoWars. And if you have been watching any of the news, he's the man whose podcasts have been removed by Apple and some of the other social media companies, Facebook and the like. He's also the man who did not believe that the Sandy Hook massacre of those elementary school children was actually real. And so, and he is also a conspiracy theorist as well as a darling of the extreme right. But you were going to say something, Justin.
No, I was going to say the stakes are so high. And what Eugene said was very accurate. With the midterm elections coming up on the political front, the desire to create this sense of being aggrieved so that you can boost this energy in the base is, I think, a real possible motive. What we saw happen yesterday in Ferguson, that's my background. I was one of the Ferguson protesters, and we saw that we were able to unite and hit the polls and actually oust the prosecutor who refused to bring charges against the killer of Mike Brown, Darren Wilson, completely shifting the political ground in that environment. And it's a real victory that, you know, for the first time, I think tomorrow is the 4-year anniversary of when Mike Brown was killed. It's a signal that, when people unite and they hit the polls, change can happen. And that's scary for some of these groups that felt like they were just gaining ground. They just found out last year they had a president that was willing to look the other way. They've got this surge that's been recognized all across the country. And so they do have this wave that they've been trying to ride, and the common idea that's out today is that in November there's going to be a blue tide that is going to reverse their huge gain, and it's going to end all of their momentum. And so they're desperately looking to find a way to stem this blue tide, and this could be one of their tools.
But at least right now, until all of the absentee ballots are counted, you know, in the 12th congressional district in central Ohio, it still looks like, if not red, it's pink. Because you do have a Republican candidate who is claiming victory, even though we are talking about a 1% difference between the Democrat and the Republican, the Democrat being an anti-Trump, the Republican being a supporter of Trump. And I think we can talk about the politics of this 1% that's separating them. But if the Republican wins, nobody's going to remember that 1%. It's whoever won.
Right. Well, just to go back to what you both were saying, you know, I'm personally hesitant to suggest that they are making a conscious decision to affect the midterms. But there still is a very real risk that this could mobilize, you know, individuals who are leaning towards this ideology or those who are just in more mainstream conservative circles. Last time around, we saw those in the extreme right wing kill Heather Heyer, but a huge talking point in conservative media in the wake of that was surrounding Antifa, which, as far as I remember, that day didn't kill anybody. So it really could ultimately play into the sense of aggrievement.
Some final thoughts as we move towards Sunday. And I want to say, I remember when I was a news anchor in Huntsville, Alabama in the 1990s, had a white news director, but he was from Pennsylvania. Mm. And everyone in the newsroom was set on coverage of the Ku Klux Klan because they wanted to march through downtown Huntsville. He said, "We will not cover them. We will not cover them." And on this particular day, we went, we shot it, videotaped and the like, but we did not report on it. I will say Sean Hannity was a radio reporter at that time, back in the 1990s, and I'll just leave it at that. How should we respond to Sunday? Real quick, 30 seconds for each of you. Justin.
So I'm a firm believer that it's incorrect to believe that you can ignore these types of movements and hope that they just go away on their own or just die out under the weight of their own illogical nature. I think that we've seen that this movement does not have a logical base. It does not have a base in sound reasoning. It's based in this desire to put blame on people for the problems that one feels in their own life. So I believe that the proper response is to make sure that your voice is heard, calling your local representatives, contacting people who can say from a leadership position in your community that we do not stand for this. And it's also an opportunity to reinforce what you do stand for. You stand for racial justice. You stand for human rights. And you're going to make sure that that's what you're going to move forward on.
Justin, real quick, your thoughts.
I think for years there was a bit of sensationalism that came to covering hate groups or the KKK. You know, it was fun to have them on Jerry Springer or Donahue, which a lot of those talk shows did quite a bit. But I think now, though, this is a very different political environment. These are groups that are not going away. They are now bringing it to the streets and, as we saw in Charlottesville last year, hurting people. So I think this needs to be taken seriously.
Real quick, Eugene, 15 seconds, if you can.
I absolutely can. 1 p.m., Lafayette Park, the north side of the park. We're going to be there. You should be there. Bring 5-10 of your friends. Let's show these people that we can have thousands and thousands of people. We'll fill the park. We'll fill the streets around them. And we'll say we're going to hold this space for unity and for solidarity and against bigotry.
Justin Hansford, Eugene Peryear, Justin Duckham, thank you all so very, very much. And we'll continue to talk about this, not only on this program and not just this week, but beyond. So thank you again so much for coming in and chatting with us. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, August 8th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.